Hey guys, what's up? We are the Story Crafters. Welcome back. My name is Jeff. Down below me, we have Nicole, Game Master Moms, and above her and to my right, potentially your left. Last time I did this, the whole video was backwards, was Charlie. So hey, yeah. How are we doing, guys? It has been quite the weeks for weeks? Week for me. Man.
Exhausted.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk to you guys tonight, though, about what we've been doing. Charlie and I were in here before, Nicole, you got in here, and we were talking. We're like, it was silent, and we're like, it kind of sucks that, like, the what have we been up to is part of the show, because we both are like, what? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So
wait to share it. Wait to share.
Yeah. But so let's get into that, because I desperately want to know what the hell you guys have been up to. So let's roll initiative, shall we?
Let's do it. Mm-hmm.
You'll also notice that Jared is not here currently. Hopefully he will be in at some point today, tonight. He had other obligations that we all do as people who live life. And that's kind of the point of this podcast is real life, trying to squeeze in Dungeons & Dragons, because the BBEG of every game is scheduling. So,
well, you know, I like to think of it that this is, you know, every time when the occasionally the party will split up. And one party gets into an encounter, and they're in the initiative role, and the other, you know, group has to get there, right? But they're limited to how far they can get,
movement-wise,
during the rest of the group's initiative. That's just what's happening right now.
We're That's in initiative. Just where we're at.
We're in the encounter, and he is just, you know, too far away for, you know, his walking speed to get here. Enough.
And I'm going to be trailing the caboose to make sure, and I'm going to be just waving goodbye with my two.
With your two. Yeah, I didn't do much better. I'm at a three.
Oh, darn it. I got an eight. I didn't want to go first today, though.
Wow. None of us rolled above a 10. We didn't even get a first, double digit. All right, well.
Don't get rolling initiative, guys. We're the worst.
We're really bad. When we get to doing our actual plays for our Patreon viewers, hopefully our rolls will be better. Otherwise, it's going to be a really, really lame campaign.
Yeah. When I roll as a player, I tend to roll pretty well. But anytime I'm rolling as a GM for initiative, it's always just absolute shit.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, Nicole, kick us off.
All right. What have I been up to? Mostly what I've been up to is working on my book some more, which I feel like I say every week, but y'all, publishing a book takes a long time. Writing, illustrating, and publishing a book is a whole ordeal. So I'm still deep in that. The really cool piece we're on right now, which probably this will have hit Instagram by the time this episode gets released, but if it hasn't, it'll be coming soon. I forever ago, like last fall 2024, I asked people through Game Master Mom on Instagram to submit characters to potentially be included in my book, and Jeff's character's in there, Cargrim's in there. Bunch of, like, it's like, I don't know, maybe like 30, it's like between 20 and 30 characters that ended up in the book out of like 100 submissions. Like, it's so many people showed up and gave me their characters. It was super hard to choose.
That was before we made the Story Crafters, by the way, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
No bias.
It's been like 6 months, so I feel like most of the people that follow me now, like, weren't around then, so they're gonna be like, "What is this?" But
what is
it's
this?
Kind of cool that it worked out that way, because I feel like my like OG people, my like people that knew me before, are the ones that are gonna be in the book, and like that's how it should be.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Awesome. So Daniel, my illustrator, just finished the page that has the student and faculty featured characters in the academy. So I'm going to be doing little sneak peeks of those over the next few weeks and showing people what Daniel's version of their character looks like, which I'm really excited about.
Ooh, man. given that Cargrim is in it, I'm really stoked to see this because it's like, I know what he looks like. And yeah. So I'm like, oh man.
Oh, yeah, oh, I'm super excited. I can't wait for everybody to see their characters. So
I'm so
I think I'm going to try to
like,
do
message him. Be like, what does he look like?
No, he will not tell you. He will not tell you. Learn the secrecy. I was thinking about making people wait to like buy the book and look at it in the book, but I was like, no, I'll give them a little peek of it. They'll still buy the book. It'll be fine.
Maybe just do a handful of them.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I'm excited about them, so honestly, I'll probably post them all. That's just how I roll. I can't keep a secret like that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not ignoring you. Jared just texted us, and he should be in about 15 minutes or so. So hopefully he'll make it into the later half of this episode. Maybe we'll have a surprise guest.
I was like, that would be... I want to know if we saying it now in the episode, and then based on editing and cuts and everything, if it... He pops up, but it's like in the next 30 seconds, and we're like, oh, 20 minutes.
20 minutes, boom.
Here he
15
is.
Minutes, 15 minutes, our time, real time. That's the second time I've looked at this microphone thinking that it's a camera.
Well, hey, I mean, you know,
I'm so used to having my camera set up, but I felt so lazy. Stuff. I didn't even set up my mic. Like
it's just like combat, right? You know,
it is.
Each round, it feels it takes forever, but it's really just 6 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm really excited to read your book, Nicole.
Yes.
It is one like legit. The whole like I'm not a reader. Like I'm trying to be a reader, right?
Yeah.
And I'm legitimately like, out of every book that I have in my pipeline to read. This book is like the number one thing. So yes. I'm super stoked on that.
That makes me so happy.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Oh man.
Well, it's a children's book, so it's like all reading levels. So
that's
anyone listening,
I am a child.
If you can listen to this podcast and you've made it this far, you have the attention span to read my book. So yeah, it's for everyone.
There you go.
I'm gonna make sure that there's
I need to check, but I can't remember. Do you remember if Cargrim was one of the legendary heroes or if he was a faculty member?
He's a faculty.
She's like, jokes on you, he's both.
He might be both. I'm not sure. Is he a barbarian?
No.
That's somebody else. He's a cleric.
Best class ever.
Yes. Yes, he is faculty, so you'll be seeing him soon.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm excited too.
Ah, man. Just to like, selfishly to like, see my character that I created like, come to life like that. Like,
yeah, dude.
It's pretty cool. And,
it's so cool, yeah.
Yeah. But,
well, and they'll be
you're the cool one though, because you're writing the fucking book. Like...
They'll be in the game too. Whenever I finish the game that goes with it, they'll also be NPCs in the game.
That's so
well,
cool.
If you need voice acting for, you know, any audio overlays or something, we'll figure it out.
Yes.
Or hire somebody better than me.
No, I'll be calling you up and being like, okay, I need the voice acting. I need more backstory. I need to know how he would say this. Like, just give me all the
things. I got you on backstory if you need more backstory on him.
Perfect. I'll let you know when I get to that part of the game.
Oh, gosh. Charlie, what you been up to?
Again, my non-D&D life has been still, unfortunately, incredibly busy. So because of that, unfortunately, my campaigns are paused, which is a real big bummer. However, I did have a big private game that I recently did, I think last weekend. Everything's blurring together. And that was for 7 players. It was a lot of fun. It was a custom one-shot that they had wanted to do, and it was a ton of fun. And very prompt to one of our previous episodes, it was mixed experience at the table. So we had a couple people. We had one person who had never played anything of D&D before whatsoever. And we had, you know, our various, you know, levels of had played a little bit, played previous editions. Somebody who had very familiar with Baldur's Gate and did a one-shot or two. So it was really cool to see everybody work together and help one another out. And then I had, which was so funny and really validating at moments, was I had one person who is also a GM at the table. And so every time I would do something, you know, that they would pick up on, they would be like, you would see everybody at the table would be like, ooh, interesting. And then she would be like, so it was very, very funny. That was probably some of the biggest entertainment for me sitting at that table, was just seeing their reaction to stuff, because they knew exactly what would be happening. And then what was really great was the several times that I got to twist it in a way that even they didn't see coming and surprising them. So it was a good one. It was a really good session. It was a lot of fun. It was your classic dungeon crawl. Nice. Multiple different levels and layers. It was a lot of fun. I have such a backlog on photos that I need to post on Instagram of various games that I've run. That one will definitely be a good one. But that was also done at the Weather Dragon Inn. So if anybody does want to see some pictures and stuff from it, Mike did a couple of reels, and I think we collaborated on them, so they might be on my feed.
I saw some of those. That looked dope.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was a ton of fun. It was pretty cool. One little tip I'll give for people out there for dungeon crawls, especially using them as one shots, you want to, of course, resource economy, find ways to make your players really consider what they're using and keep the momentum going so they don't have a chance to do rest in order to, again, keep the pressure on, which is its own fun. And so one of the things that I did was at the very start of the session, in order for them to get into the dungeon, there was the doorway, the gateway was sealed, and the way to power it was to funnel raw magic slots. So they had to do a total of 9 slots, and it could be in any way. It could be 3 third level slots, 1 eighth level, and a first level, but no cantrips. And so they had to sacrifice a number of spell slots just to get into it. And that kicked things off that way, and that was a lot of fun. And so the people that had played D&D before, they were like, oh, this is not going to be, you know, something we've encountered before. This is going to be its own unique piece. So it made for a lot of fun for the veteran players and for the new players who had never played. They were like, okay, yeah, we can do that. so it was pretty cool. But that was the big D&D stuff. Otherwise, just stoked, getting ready for Gary Con. Absolutely excited for that. And that's the limit of my D&D stuff. But I mean, that was an all day thing. I think I had the night before went to the Rogue Game Master office to build all the terrain, spent for like 2 hours there, and then left at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I got back at 8:30 at night. So if you ever look to run a private game, you know, or hire somebody for a private game, folks, just remember, you know, there's a price tag to it, but I promise there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Sure.
How about you?
I painted quite a bit of minis, back in my painting flow. Nice. And crafting some stuff still, as well. I finished a bunch more of those cliff stacker things, or not cliff stackers, but those like ruin stackers, those 3x3s. Did a lot of printing again too. I actually have one right here. It's Zenithald and slap chopped a little bit, but it's a ogre type thing.
Heck, you printed that?
Yeah.
It looks good.
That's awesome, dude.
Thanks. It's from The Printing Goes Ever On My Mini Factory.
They're good.
I forget which one that is. I think it's the Tales of Adventure. It's basically whatever the Lord of the Rings, they're like Lord of the Rings versions of all their things are. I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can do that. Anyways.
Who's going to stop you?
Stop me.
You know what's great? You know what would be great? Just bleep that entire bit out. Don't cut it out. Just bleep it, and people are going to be like,
what is wrong with my... So I did that. I also printed the bad guy for my campaign.
Ooh, that's exciting.
He's right here. So...
Ooh.
Okay, this you have to blur out for...
I will.
Yeah. This looks amazing, dude.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, that'll be fun to paint.
Dude, that looks really good. That is a super cool...
Thank you. The Saturn 3 is no joke. That thing is a beast. I'm looking at getting an FDM printer here soon, too. But
nice.
We'll see. And I had to cancel my game for tomorrow night.
Oh.
Due to work, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Darn work.
I know.
Darn that one that pays the bills.
Born to tell stories. Forced to make people sound good. I say it through a super shitty mic. That's kind of been what I've been up to. Played some local games at Tower.
Nice.
Played some one-page rules with some friends.
There you go.
Didn't really do a whole lot, honestly. It's been really busy around just with life.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of snow here, too, which is really weird for us. We don't get snow where we live, and Nicole, I'm sure you too.
Yeah, we don't usually.
But we got, like, almost a foot.
Yeah.
So for us...
It was, like, 8 to 9 inches.
Yeah, we live at the beach, so it's surfing, skateboarding, all that type of stuff. Snowboarding, you have to go out for. These people here that live at the beach, they are not equipped for the snow. No. Dear God, it was terrifying. So that took up a lot of my time, which was really fun, because I got to spend it most of the time with my son. So, cannot complain that I didn't get to do a whole lot of hobbying. So.
Aww, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, he painted a mini as well. He picked, I don't have it. It's in his room.
I was gonna say, let's see it. Show off the boys' work. Yes.
It's in his room. It's very colorful. But he's trying to like really get the details.
Yeah.
And he's trying. I say trying. He's doing that with like a size 4 brush. So like no matter how hard you try, it's gonna but he's like really been talking about wanting to learn D&D, so I'm like, okay, awesome, bud, like let's do it, dude. Like my friend's got a great book for it, so
she's working on awesome, it as fast as she can.
There's an awesome character sheet thing that we can use, you know, and everybody should go download and buy and, you know, do that because it's awesome.
Yes.
But yeah,
it's still free.
It's still free, or you can be awesome and throw a little tip, you know.
Or you buy it, yeah.
It's
free or $1.99, so, you know.
But, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. But, yeah, I think Jared actually might be home because he just saw the text.
Hey, wait for it.
Hey.
Right there he is. Yeah.
Yes. I made it.
Guys tuning in right now. What a perfect time for me end my blabbering.
Liquid death to that.
Ooh,
hey, there you go. That looks awesome.
That and real quick, I was just about to do a cut segment into the lore. Jared, you rolled a 1. Congratulations.
You know
what have you been up to, bro?
You know what's hilarious is I rolled just for kicks and giggles, and finally now of all the times I rolled a 17. So the first
that would have been first.
You would have been first,
man.
What's fantastic is even though you rolled a Jeff rolled an actual 2 and I rolled an actual 3.
Yeah.
Sounds about
and
right.
Then Nicole rolled an 8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one got above a 10.
Well, true hey, GM fashion. Yep, I was going to say, that all sounds correct. How is everybody?
Good, man. Good. How are you? You feeling better?
Yeah, I'm doing much better, thankfully. So, a little bit of a rough stretch, but it's going around, so it's all good. Yeah, so what have I been up to? The reason I'm late, actually, is something exciting that I want to talk about. So, there is an event local to me, so I live in northern Indiana, called Goshen and Dragons. It is on March 21st and 22nd, so shortly after this episode, I believe, will come out. On the 21st, there is a D&D live show that is happening at the local theater of a group. I'm gonna botch the name, but I believe it's Theater Geeks, Dweebs, and something else. And I apologize terribly. My brain is fuzzed.
That's awesome.
But they are doing a live show. And then the following day is an all-day D&D event where we have so far 20 DMs signed up. That there will be sessions all day long happening in the theater. There will be, I will be DMing. And then there's like a paint and take for minis. There's like a character creation workshop. So it's going to be awesome. So if you are local to me, again, in like northern Indiana or the surrounding area, look up Goshen and Dragons. I will also be sharing stuff on my Instagram for it leading up to it. So it should be a very fun time. But anyway, that's awesome. The reason I'm late is because I'm on the planning committee for it. So we had a meeting, ran a little long because there's a lot going on, but it's very exciting. So. Apologize.
Just run them in on the podcast.
There you go. But yeah, so that's very. Yeah. So it's very exciting. Very excited about that. Beyond that, I actually haven't played D&D because of being sick. Had to cancel, is what it is. But I've been doing a lot of crafting again on the top secret can't talk about it project that I mentioned last week. But it's going very well. Very happy with it, very anxious and excited to be able to share pictures of it, possibly, trying to think of timing, probably not. I might be able to tease it a little bit by the time that you guys are actually listening to this episode on my Instagram. I know, like I just like, hyped you, I know, I say I just hyped you guys up just to pull the rug right out, but... So yeah, besides that, life has just been a bit of a whirlwind due to, illness, but it's all good. It's all good.
Oh God. Anyways, let's jump into the lore. We're going to do that now.
Do it.
Woo! I don't know what I'll do there. Some fade. So, welcome back, everybody. We are the Story Crafters. We're about to jump into the lore here real quick, and I'm going to take you guys on a journey through Waterdeep. So, basically, Waterdeep, also called the City of Splendors, due to the immense wealth, its rich history, it's got a lot of cultural significance as well, too, in the Sword Coast. It is one of the largest and most influential cities as well, acting as the trade hub between kind of like the north and the center of the Faerun, which is kind of cool, as in between there is, I believe, Neverwinter, somewhere in there, somewhere in the halfway up there. And the city itself is, if you've played Skyrim, it kind of reminds me of Riften, if you played Skyrim, without all the rain.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sunny Riften.
And if you haven't played Skyrim, then what are you even doing?
Go play Skyrim right now.
Play Skyrim. It's only 14 years old and can be played on a toaster. You should absolutely go play that in support. You should absolutely go play Skyrim if you haven't played Skyrim before. That is without question.
Yeah, if you want to lose but, track of an entire day.
Yeah.
You're weak.
Great way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The city is divided into multiple sections as well. It has a castle ward, and they're called wards, not like districts or anything. They're WARD ward. There's a castle ward for your governors, your nobles, your high estates. You have the trade ward, which is the commerce and your skilled, your artisans, things like that. The dock ward makes sense. It's where your ships, sailors. However, there's also typically a lot more criminal activity there. You have the north and sea wards, which north and sea ward. I guess it is ward, which is another more wealthy side of the city that it's your beach view, you know. You have the south ward, which middle class, a lot of laborers. And then the field ward, which is your typically your poor, that's where your peasants are, your farmers that, you know, are tending the less than ideal things. And lastly, which I find super fun, is the city of the dead that is actually to the far east of it is a massive like graveyard park. Burial ground and a public space park being like flat nature, not playground park. It's just this really interesting ghouly but not ghouly place in the middle of a city. Love it. Awesome. It is one of the biggest cities, like we said, so that it hosts a lot of different races and factions. Most notably, the two factions, I guess there's three, but being the Zhentarim, the Harpers, and the Xanathar's Guild. So if that name rings a bell, it should, being Xanathar's Guide to Everything, is one of the most popular and, you know, one of my go-to source books for different material. They are constantly basically kind of like at war with each other. They're all trying to manipulate each other because in Waterdeep, power is the name of the game, right? The rulers of Waterdeep are a secret council known as the Lords of Waterdeep, but what they do is they ensure that basically no single noble house or a faction can seize complete control of the city. They are often anonymous as well, where they wear these like magic masks over top of their face to hide their identities. The only one that is known is referred to as the Open Lord, and it is a publicly known figure that represents the whole official, like, hey, here's what we are as a group, which is really cool that they have this own, even in this chaos and hell city. Basically, they have this checks and balances, like, yeah, you guys can do a bunch of terrible things to each other, but you'll never actually own the whole city. And then last, you can go way into the politics of Waterdeep. I don't want to go into it too much because that leads into this point right here. Why I don't want to go into it too much is because you should totally play Waterdeep Dragon Heist. It is so cool. But in there as well, so like you say, you'll really get to know the politics between the Zhentarim and the Xanathar's Guild specifically. Those two play a pretty massive role in at least the first half of the book.
Nice.
But my third one is probably the most famous inn of all time in D&D, being the Yawning Portal Inn. That is set in Waterdeep, for those who do not know. The Yawning Portal Inn is the entrance to what's called the Undermountain. So that portal is not the big portal you see in the inn. It's the portal is a fireplace, I believe. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not.
No, I'm pretty sure you are. Yeah, it's like an iconic, like.
Yeah, it's got the screaming
head and mouth.
Yeah, yeah. So the big like well thing that you see in all the pictures and stuff of the Yawning Portal Inn is actually really cool. The entrance to the Undermountain, which, for those that don't know that, is where the Dungeon of the Mad Mage takes place.
Yes.
So that is another D&D adventure. So you can go from Waterdeep, you can play the Waterdeep adventure, then go right into the Dungeon of the Mad Mage by ending Xanathar's at the inn in the Yawning Portal Inn, and you can be like, oh yeah, I end this here because Waterdeep ends at level 5. You can take the Dungeon of the Mad Mage and go from 6 to 20 because it's designed to do that.
Yep.
One of the ones I really want to play is the Dungeon of the Mad Mage, primarily because I have the Yawning Portal set and I really want to use it again.
Nice. I use part of that set for my birthday.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's awesome. It's absolutely amazing. It's so cool.
So that's a really cool... That Yawning Portal Inn is so famous in D&D. I mean, everybody goes to the Yawning Portal at some point. And I've run one-shots based in it. I mean, it's huge. But yeah, that's a little lore about Waterdeep. There are tons of... Oh, there's one other thing there. We'll go one layer deeper, quite literally, where you can even go deeper than the Undermountain. And there is one other place that's called Skullport, which this was actually new to me. I did not know that this was here. Below that, and it's a hidden underground city built beneath Waterdeep. And this is a lawless land that is full of smugglers, slavers, illicit traders, and it's controlled by dark forces like Mind Flayers, and the actual Xanathar's Guild itself controls it, which is terrifying. But that's a little bit about Waterdeep. It could be a good time. I mean, if that's your thing, gives me a little bit of Red Light District issues, but that's just me. Anyways, man, this episode is wild for like things. I'm like, ooh, can I say that?
We have unhinged this episode. I don't know what is wrong with us.
There's stuff at the beginning of this before we actually start it that I will definitely have to make sure that I scrub through.
I had to look it up because you said Skullport and I was like, yeah.
The other thing
it's known by, and that's what I typically remember it as, is it's also known as the Port of Shadows.
Oh, the Port of Shadows.
Yeah. That I actually have heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny, just as I was looking at it on the Forgotten Realms wiki, and when you were talking about like what you can get there, they have a section for commerce, and it says exports are in this order: body parts, cadavers, drugs, evil magic, mercenaries, slaves, smuggling services, poisons, vile magic, and undead.
And undead.
Just tag that right on the end there.
Yep.
And undead. Oh gosh, man. Well, you know, not all D&D is sunshine and roses and daisies, and you know, there is some darker sides of D&D, and in this case, it is one of my favorite cities of Riften. Not Riften. Wow, that's where my brain is.
But yes, but Riften. Yes.
Go play Skyrim.
Again, play Skyrim.
I'm realizing now I actually knew shockingly little about Waterdeep, so that was very informative.
It's fun. It's cool.
Yeah, Waterdeep is awesome.
Yeah, it's a really fun one, and it also plays into it's a port in Spelljammer. You can go there in Spelljammer too.
Interesting.
Which is really cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I definitely learned some stuff on it. Yeah. So, we're going to go ahead and jump into D&D Beyond, how we use it, what we use it for, if we like it, do we like it? I don't even know. We're going to find out. You're going to find out. We'll catch you in a second.
Hey guys, wanted to interrupt real quick to just talk about a quick question. Have you struggled to set the mood at the table when you're playing your RPGs? Well, struggle no longer. For set the mood with your next adventure from Firelight Fable Candle Company, immerse yourself in rich scents inspired by fantasy worlds and epic quests. Whether you're weaving tales at the table or diving into your favorite book, let the flicker of Firelight Fables ignite your imagination. Use code STORYCRAFTERS for 15% off your order at firelightfables.com.
We're back. Hello. Hi. We're going to go ahead and talk about D&D Beyond, because that's what we rolled. I believe it was a 52, I think. Jared, why don't you go ahead and start us off there, since you are the...
17. Yeah.
Very kind of you. Mr. 17.
Jared.
Yeah.
Or... Tarask, Jeff, let loose.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Is it the big ass Tarask?
I definitely have all my thoughts in order to talk about D&D Beyond, so... I mean, I'll just kick it off by saying I love D&D Beyond. I know there are some naysayers. It is, like, I own, unfortunately, very few actual physical books of D&D source material because all my players use D&D Beyond. It's, like, one of my most used apps I've created. I mean, I can scroll for a pretty long time. I've created so many characters in the app. It is one of my favorite things to do. Just like if I have, you know, time to kill, I'll just create a character. I use it to create my villains oftentimes. You know, create a oftentimes, especially if it's multi-class, because I just find it easier. And, you know, you can tweak stuff to add or take away abilities. I'm a big fan of it. I am a sucker for when things are easily accessible and everything has a landing space. It's all in one zone. I love that. I definitely underutilize some of the features because while oftentimes I'll have players who are virtual, I basically set up a webcam that they see the, you know, physical terrain on the table. And I know they've recently introduced a lot of maps, digital maps and things that you can use. And I don't use any of those, though they intrigue me. I'd like to look into them more. One thing that I would say is slightly, maybe imbalanced is the right word, and in fairness, I've not used it since they released the new monster manual, is the, what's the word I'm looking for? The combat creator? That's not the name of it. What is it called?
The encounter builder.
Thank you. That's the one, the encounter builder. That I find is not... It's great if you do leveling based on XP. It's awesome for that. For, you know, just plug in your monsters. It's all there for you. You don't have to do the math on your own. But I, especially when I was brand new to DMing, I would use that a lot because I had very little way to gauge of, like, you know, are these monsters going to completely wipe the party? And so oftentimes I've had it and it'd be, you know, deadly. And then they just steamroll. My players would just steamroll the monsters. I'm like, ah, okay. So I definitely think there's a little bit of imbalance there. That's a little bit imperfect. But, you know, others may have different opinions on that. All in all, it's great. It is what I use when I DM. I have my iPad and typically my phone behind my screen. And typically I have the app open on both screens and I'm jumping back and forth. I love it because it's a landing place for the campaign where I can see my players' characters. I can check their inventory in between sessions. I can check, you know, their health and stuff to know, you know, they just got hit for, you know, 72 hit, you know, points, mm-hmm. do they even have that much health? Sometimes it's just nice to know. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I feel like I just rambled and didn't say a whole lot. But all in all, I love the app of D&D Beyond. I would say I pretty much exclusively use it on mobile devices. I do find on occasion I will hop onto my PC and use it, but it's not my go-to. And I know there's many more features available on the desktop side of it, but yeah, big fan of it.
I actually had a question for you. You said you make your villains on it. Do you actually use D&D Beyond, and that, like, do you actually use a D&D Beyond character sheet and, like, character for your big bads or for your villains, or do you use, like, a monster stat block?
So, I mean, it depends. If it is a humanoid bad guy, then I will often create a character for it. And again, I might, you know, add 5 to a saving throw or whatever for him, or I might, you know, in my notes, I might say, hey, they actually have 2 attacks versus 1, you know, or what have you. But yeah, I think it's great for that. Because then I often, too, this is kind of, I'm going to go on a tangent a little bit. I often like to think, too, like, you know, if my players are having to create these characters within these boundaries, I think it's nice if I'm creating something from nothing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice to follow the same guidelines so I don't have maybe an unfair advantage on, you know, some of the things. So I think it's nice. Again, I think I just have whatever illness it is that just enjoys creating characters. So maybe I just use that as an excuse. But I find in doing that, I find a lot of, like, secondary abilities that I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
If I'm just, you know, pen and paper writing down what I think my villain is going to be. I even use it for, like, NPCs if they're recurring and have combat abilities in some way, shape, or form, or spells. I love it for that too, because then I'm not having to flip back through notes to figure out, okay, I know they had some magical ability, but what the heck could they do, you know? Whereas if I just create, you know, a level 3 wizard, let's say, it's all right there. I find it very handy for that. It helps me stay organized. I'm not a terribly organized person, but it does aid me in those endeavors. And I also love the bookmarks feature, because I have several lists that I'll, like, track for my main campaign, the Abyssal Tide. Like, I have every single monster saved or bookmarked, you know, in a folder in there, so that I can look back and be like, you know, have my players encountered these before? Because, you know, I've run it for over a year now. Mm-hmm. I'll flip back through that. I'm like, oh yeah, I entirely forgot we even encountered those, you know? Or, you know, when they release, like, the new monster manual, I was saving so many monsters. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm gonna throw that at them. Oh, yep, yeah, that's another. So I think it's a great way to stay organized.
I use it a lot. I like the encounter builder. From what I've gotten to figure out with it is, like, if the encounter is not deadly, it's gonna be a steamroll. And even deadly encounters, which I'm hoping that the new monster manual kind of fixes. I like it because I just like to be able to see the monsters all in front of me in, like, one page and not have to worry about, like, you know, like, flipping through a book and stuff like that, which I love the books. I'm looking at probably 10, maybe. Like, that's cool, and it's really nice and tactile, but it's just really nice to be able to just click on the thing. It shows, hey, here's what it does. It's got a hyperlink to its spells, if it casts spells. But then I also really like to, like, this isn't a plug either for D&D Beyond. Like, this is, we just happen to roll D&D Beyond. But it just so happens that it is a good app.
If they want to sponsor us, by all means, we would be more than happy to.
Absolutely. But I like the public notes and the private notes that you can do on it. So Like, if I want my players to know something, like, I can go in and type it, and then I can do that as the public notes and then send them the updated campaign link. Or they can, because no player normally goes and willingly looks at their stuff, let's be real. You can send them that, and then they can have notes that are like, oh, right, this is in the campaign, you know, so then they can look at the campaign. But then I can also put notes in for myself. I like that feature that's private that only I can see. And I mean, I use OneNote for my DM prep, so that's pretty much where I use all my notes from, is OneNote and stuff like that. I don't use the D&D Beyond Map feature because I don't play virtually. I guess it's okay. I've heard it's okay. I haven't really heard anything bad about it. I haven't heard anything good about it either. I will say I hate the mobile app because it's really hard to navigate the source books with if you don't already own them.
Yeah.
Getting to them and stuff, like, it's kind of hard to, like, I've tried to, like, send my players stuff, and if you try to do it from your phone, it's almost impossible. Like, you have to go to the website version of it on your phone to get to the marketplace, unless they updated it or something. But it is the most frustrating thing to try to send somebody a link to, like, a direct part of D&D Beyond or something. But yeah, I like it though. It's pretty good.
I think, which, you know, reiterates what I already said, there's a lot of, like, the notes thing. I don't, like, I've put in a campaign description before when I've created one. I don't know if I even knew that they had the notes option. I've never used that.
It's like all the way at the bottom.
That makes sense. There's definitely a lot of features that I either way underutilize or just don't use at all. Which is, you know, a reflection on me, not the app or the, you know, site itself. But
I just realized that I definitely skipped over you, Nicole. I'm so sorry.
I thought you were just commenting. I was like, this is a very long comment on what Jared said.
I'm really sorry.
Me going first just throws everything off. I'm always last.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, man. So rewind.
Hold on. Does that mean that Jeff gets disadvantage next recording on his initiative?
Yes, it does. I have disadvantage. Yes.
He skipped to his turn. Yeah.
I can't believe that. You can shame me in the comments.
It's okay. My D&D Beyond talk is going to be real short because I hardly use it at all. I think I've only ever used it as a character creator, and it is excellent as a character creator. I love to use it for that. Honestly, I have the app downloaded on my phone, but I don't know my password, so I can't log into it. But that's just like, that's my real life. So have I ever used the app? No, but I could if I could just remember or reset my password. So maybe I'll do that at some point. But honestly, like, I don't really play full D&D very often. So for me, the resource of D&D Beyond and having everything together is, like, great in theory, but most of it I wouldn't really use unless I was just kind of, like, scrolling through for ideas. Yeah, basically, D&D Beyond, I appreciate it as a resource. It's just not one I really use very often, except to create characters. I'm definitely more of a, like, I like to have the physical book and, like, flip through it and put little sticky notes and tabs on it. And it does get unwieldy to, like, go back and forth and flip pages and change manuals during the game, but I'm just kind of old school like that.
Here's my biggest gripe. I wish that, and I understand, you know, business, but I wish that when you bought the physical book, you would get a digital code or vice versa.
Yeah.
Because I would love to have more of the physical books because they are beautiful and there's nothing like flipping through, you know, a physical book. But because all of my players utilize the app so much, I've just kind of migrated to this just makes more sense for me. But yeah, I don't want to have to buy things twice, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been and when it comes to me, I'll talk about it. I'm a big fan, but I do think there should be something in D&D Beyond. If you're listening, just simply let us use the ISBN number inside the book as you know, even just a 50% off on the digital copy.
Yeah.
And I think there would be way more sales, you know, because it is such a bummer that the virtual, you know, still costs so much. Despite the physical, and it would be great to have both. And if that meant that by buying the physical, you got a discount on the virtual, I think that would be a bigger incentive. Just saying, you know.
Yeah, I think they have those digital physical bundles.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of a discount it is. I think it is a little, but...
Yeah. It's not quite a bit. I mean, especially, you know, for your average player, I mean, it's a big upfront cost to, you know, to, because I think it's like, usually it's like I think it's like an additional $20 or so above the physical book, which is already like $50. So $70, it's a lot.
Yeah. Or like if you subscribe to like the master tier, like, which I think every GM probably does or should, like, you should get some sort of, I don't care about free virtual dice. Like, give me a discount code because I pay you monthly. Like, or increase, because it's only $6, right?
Yeah.
So, or increase the price of the membership and include the books with that membership. Like,
yeah.
I would pay $15 for that a month if I got access to all the books in the process for however long my subscription is.
Mm. Yeah, like a legendary tier.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I would do that personally.
Like core 4 or, you know, core 3, whatever.
I would want at least Xanathar's and Tasha's included in that.
Mm. Yeah.
At least those two.
Yeah.
D&D Beyond, if you're listening, we got a couple ideas for you.
We got some ideas, D&D Beyond.
Well, I will say for myself, I absolutely love D&D Beyond. I use it a ton. It out of everything that I do as a GM, both for paid games and non-paid games, it is easily one of the things that I get the most use out of. I would personally equivalent it to, because there are a ton of features. If anybody's familiar with World Anvil, because I have a profile over there, I feel like D&D Beyond is like World Anvil Lite. You know, it gives you a lot of similar things and can really help a campaign, especially if you are running a homebrew campaign or really personalizing a pre-written module or setting. Because for my homebrew campaign, I mean, what I do with my players is I have all kinds of custom items and spells, monsters, all kinds of stuff. And so I can make all of those in D&D Beyond, and then those are physical things that they can then access. So, you know, I'm like, hey, you come across, you know, this crystalline lens called such and such, and... go ahead, look at, you know, look for it and add it to your inventory. And they get so excited because they get to actually put that in there, and it's already been pre-made and everything. And you can custom tailor it to exactly what you need. And even if you're in a pinch and you just want to customize, you know, a +1 sword with a little bit of flair, they make it really, really easy for you to copy the +1 sword itself and then add whatever you want. And you can easily change and flavor anything without having to redesign or remake an entire item or spell or anything, which is really awesome. So if you're doing a homebrew setting, it's so good. And
I think the item creation and the monster creation are phenomenal. And again, more the desktop version. I know you can do minor tweaks to items in the mobile app. I think maybe a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, I think a lot of that is desktop side, which is like, you know, most people using it will have access to a desktop, whether it's personal or, you know, library or, you know, whatever computer. But yeah, I agree. There is the tools to make or shift items like that is excellent.
Yeah, and I mean, it adds a tremendous amount of value to your campaigns when you can do that. Really, your players get excited. And it also, especially if you are, you know, doing a virtual campaign or something and you can't physically hand them a description or a substitute of that item. I mean, that's a really awesome way to get players engaged virtually from a distance, you know, to be able to add that. And then they feel, you know, everybody can look it up in their inventory and all feel like they're looking at it together around the campfire. And that's really exciting. And yes, to what you were saying, 5 years ago, the mobile app was so frustrating. And it's not perfect. It has gotten better, but it's true. If you, especially if you're paying for it, the desktop version is just so much more. You get so much more value out of doing the desktop version. But I do have a lot of respect for an app that, you know, my wife, she has the free account and can participate and do and jump in campaigns and everything else, even with a free account. And I think that's awesome. And I tell players, you know, who join campaigns of mine for the first time or want to, you know, get in a paid game, you know, or do a one shot, you know, D&D Beyond is a great resource to access just even the basic stuff. Because at the very least, they do give you the basic core rules and, you know, limited versions of the player's handbook and stuff for free through it. Granted, you know, at the end of the day, and I will say another thing is, as much as the paywall sucks, you know, for the virtual books, thankfully, and again, Wizards of the Coast and D&D Beyond, if you're listening, we are very grateful that you turn a blind eye to everyone who has, you know, uploaded a digital version of every single book, and you can just Google it, and there it is. And I mean, really, between those two things, you can really get involved in a lot of D&Ds, even virtually or in person, with just a free D&D Beyond account in Google. So that is pretty beneficial. Jeff, what was it that you were saying about D&D Beyond?
I don't like the maps.
Yeah, but... Yes. Yeah, I've not done too much.
Well, I don't like them. I'm indifferent.
That's fair.
You said the master tier?
Yeah, you mentioned the master tier. For $5.99 a month, you really do get a lot, especially for me, you know, again, running my paid games and everything. I have bought several of the books to have access to virtually, and one person having a master tier and then getting to share that with all players in the campaign that join it, that's huge. I mean, so if you know, have a core group of friends live, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and you guys, you know, find D&D Beyond to be a really good thing to use, or you're scattered across the globe, you know, you have one person that everybody really trusts, or make a mutual account that you all can access, and then everybody just pitches in a few dollars and you can buy the books that you want and then share it together under that. And just add your players to that campaign and your characters to that campaign, and everybody can use it. And that is really, really awesome. I do really like that. And that is a nice thing for me as a, when I do my paid games, that I get to offer to players of, like, you get access, you know, to add your character to one of my campaigns and you get access to all the books and everything that I have. But I'm with you. If you're paying monthly, the virtual dice are pretty cool to a degree, but man, would like some additional content that I can actually use as monthly perks. For sure. Because I only need so many, you know, background drops and character frames and digital dice. That is my one thing. You know, again, they don't have to provide anything, right? We are barking up, you know, a privileged tree for sure. But yeah. I will say though, $5.99 out of everything that I pay for and use as a professional GM for games and stuff, I think I get the most use and value out of my monthly subscription to D&D Beyond.
And this was to say, it really is a tremendous resource, just like Charlie described. If one person can purchase it, or again, like for myself, I actually have a couple players who also have the master tier. So like between all of us, we have access to so many things because we're kind of just all like cross sharing, you know? And it's great because then again, if one person, like, you know, because I'm in the D&D world, so, you know, if I have the resources, I am fairly likely to get my hands on a book, you know, eventually. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, a month or two later than I would like, yeah. But you know, but then it's like Charlie said, once you have it, all your players can have access to it, which is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think especially with the new classes and things that they've introduced over the last few months with the new D&D, character creation in the app has been streamlined so much. And I think it's, yeah, character creation specifically is so user friendly now that mm-hmm. it really walks you step by step through it. Which I think is great.
Yeah, that actually makes me think. It's like, I constantly, like when I make characters, I'm like, I do not want to do this on pen and paper because it's that good. Like, yeah, like it just works and it still has everything that you need. And I'll translate it to pen and paper eventually if I decide that I want to do that. But it's like, oh, wait, because it does a lot of the guesswork out of the way for you too. It just makes it so easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great, I mean, character even, creator.
Yeah. And even with my professional games, I have players that prefer pen and paper, but I tell them, make a free account, make mm-hmm. one character on there, and then just update it every so mm-hmm. often. And then that way, if you, because I mean, that's the worst thing, right? When somebody cancels or doesn't show up for a game, and you know, if the reason is because they forgot their character, and that easily be avoided by just make your character. And that's why I tell them, like, just make it. And then that way, if you come here and you don't have something, I can log in because I'm the GM for your campaign, see your character, and I can write it on a blank character sheet, fill it out, and give it right to you. You know, mm-hmm. so even if you show up, even if you do D&D Beyond, your GM can still do that. If you forget your tablet or laptop or your phone dies or something in the game, your GM, you don't have to, it's not like you have to stop playing. Your GM can easily just look at your character and fill it out and you're back in. And that transparency alone and being able to see that is huge. And I think it helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's a lot. That's a good conversation off of D&D Beyond. Off of an app. That's pretty good, I'd say.
Kick-ass theme song with Critical Role.
Yeah. Wait, did D&D Beyond do Critical Role, help do Critical Role's theme song?
I sent this to you guys, man. Who listened
to it? He did. I listened to it.
I didn't. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I did my homework, Charlie.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Jeff. I'm going to send it to you again, man, because it's really
good. Send it to me again.
It's got like an 80s vibe to it. It's so good. Yeah, Sam Riegel sings a like D&D Beyond ode for 45 seconds for this like animated ad that they did together, and it just has this
good a time as any. That was a great, that I'm not gonna lie, like I was kind of like, D&D Beyond, how are we gonna talk about that? Like,
yeah,
look at that,
we did it, guys.
Will Anne Hathaway, so. I'll see myself out.
Someone, well, I see you've already cleared out the bar, so.
I know. Yeah. Oh yeah, the patrons left a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you move?
Patrons left a long, long time ago. This place smells. oh man. Who wants to roll on the D100 table? All right,
I'll do it.
Right.
All right, here we go. With the little mini dice. Here we go. Into the Drist cup.
Yes.
Here we go. Into the Drist cup. 92.
Oh, 92. 92. Oh, that's going to be a fun one.
All right.
All right.
There's no organizational pattern to this, is there?
Is that a kid-sized cup or a large-sized shot glass? What is happening over there?
A large-sized shot glass? When I was drinking, this was a normal shot glass. No, it is. It would be a double, I believe.
Okay.
It's a rather large cup. Glass, okay. Shot glass.
All right, guys.
It is satisfying.
Ready for our topic?
What's our topic?
You ready? If I get a drum roll. And it is your least favorite homebrewed D&D character.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Like that we homebrewed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
your least
man.
Favorite homebrewed D&D character. And I mean, interpret that however you want, right? Least favorite. Interpret that however you want. Is it your character's least, your player's least favorite, your least favorite? However you want to interpret that, I think will be interesting. But yeah, that's 92 on the D100 table. Least favorite homebrew D&D character.
Now's the time where we can just take shots at our one player who always, you know, min-maxes. And...
Yeah,
awesome.
It doesn't. It says least favorite homebrew D&D character. It does not have to be even your character necessarily, right? Like, interpret it how you wish. And
I guess
we'll talk about it next episode.
Gosh,
oh, that's gonna be a fun one.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. We are the Story Crafters. If you enjoyed this, go ahead, give us a comment, leave us a review or something. We were looking at the stuff earlier. We love the support that you guys have given us. I would love to see some comments. And selfishly, I want to talk to you guys. So comment, review, do something. I don't know. We just want to talk to you guys. So thank you again. We are the Story Crafters. I'm Jeff. Charlie?
Shout out to Death Roll Saves. Speaking of
comments. My God, yes.
Oh my, yes.
Yes.
Shout out to them.
Yeah. Number one fan.
So cool. So cool. Man, thank you again. Like I said, my name is Jeff. Over there we have Charlie. Below Charlie we have Nicole. And next to Nicole, thank you for joining the episode. We have Jared, the world's okayest crafter. We are the Story Crafters. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Remember, crying's a free action.
What?